Welcome to I'm Not Dead Yet with Judy and Travis, a podcast about living an extraordinary life with extraordinary circumstances.
Welcome to the I'm Not Dead Yet podcast. I'm your co-host, Travis Robinson. I was diagnosed with Parkinson's at age 35 in 2014.
And I'm your other co-host, Judy Yaris. My husband, Sandy, had Parkinson's for 18 years, and I was his care partner.
On today's episode, we will be discussing some areas of interest to me, which include smelling and Parkinson's disease. Is your sense of smell really gone forever? Or is it merely a matter of retraining your nose?
It's an interesting concept. So, first of all, I think we should let some of our listeners know that, if you don't already know this, that one of the symptoms of Parkinson's disease is that you lose your sense of smell. And it can happen very early on, or it can happen late into the diagnosis.
Right. I started to lose my sense of smell only about 6 months ago. And it has been something that I have become rather obsessed with learning about, because I don't want to lose my sense of smell and the associated sense of taste.
That's the thing that some people don't realize, is that taste also goes out the window when you lose your sense of smell, which makes eating a very unappealing and unenjoyable experience.
Which I have enough trouble just getting the food into my face and swallowing it. I don't want it to be bland, tasteless food when it finally gets there.
I know. It's a tough one. Sandy lost his sense of smell very early on, probably within the first 2 years of his diagnosis. So he spent 16 years without a sense of smell. But really, his sense of taste, I think, was probably the last 10 years of his PD. And occasionally, we could get in an elevator, and obviously pre-COVID, and someone with very strong perfume, I could see his eyes rolling, that he clearly could sense. It was faint, but he could smell it. And that was very unusual, because you could bring an absolutely wonderful fragrant rose directly up to his nose, and he just looked at you like, yep, no big deal. Doesn't do anything for me.
Right, which is something that I find tragic. And I set about to learn how one could repair one's sense of smell. I found some interesting things out. Number one is that your sense of smell can be trained. There is a common mistake that people with a hyper-developed palate for like wine or tea or coffee are just born that way. But many of them actually train their nose to pick out the different types of wine.
That's interesting. I never thought about that, and I've never heard anyone say that it can be trained. It's just everyone has said it's gone and that's it. So this is really cool new information.
Right, and I started Googling around and found a whole lot of YouTube channels dedicated to restoring lost sense of smell because it is a popular topic, especially when, thanks to the plague, we have a lot of people who have recently lost their sense of smell.
Yes, they actually, NPR had a wonderful program about this. And in most cases with COVID-19, it seems that your sense of smell will come back. But they interviewed two people that did not have that happen. And they are trying to figure out how to navigate in life now without their sense of smell. And it's really difficult for someone.
Right. And so I stumbled across a YouTube by an ENT doctor that talked about smell therapy, where you train your nose by simply smelling these four different essential oils, and that is supposed to restore part of your sense of smell.
That's pretty interesting. So essential oils like lavender, peppermint, that kind of thing, rosemary, those kinds of things?
Yes, exactly. He suggested the four: eucalyptus, clove, lemon, and lavender. Now, I don't know if they were picked for a specific reason or whether he just thought those four represented a wide spectrum of different smells or what, but he said that all you have to do is empty the oil into a small lidded jar and then sniff it for 10 seconds every morning and every evening for 12 weeks. So it is a somewhat complex process, but is fairly painless and does not cost you anything to try.
Right. It seems like that could be a very easy thing if that can help you regain your sense of smell. I mean, 10 seconds, four times, you're looking at under a minute in the morning and under a minute in the afternoon. That doesn't seem like a lot of time to put in to get a benefit of regaining your sense of smell.
Exactly. And I've also been reading, there are a few studies which point to specific supplements as for smell preserving, such as zinc. Also, there is a recommendation that in addition to just smelling the oil, you should really think about what you're smelling. Like, this is lemons, and it will help associate the brain to that smell. You know, if you picture a lemon in your mind while you're smelling it.
That makes a lot of sense to me. It really does. To think about the fact that when you, it has to do, I think, with the brain in the same way that visualization therapy works for people. When you visualize something and you see sunlight coming into your body to try to relax your body, and release the muscles. It's the same thing. Obviously, you don't have that sunlight coming in, but somehow you feel very relaxed and you feel the tension leaving your body. So I think it's a very interesting theory to do that.
And it makes sense that you would need to link that scent to the object mentally in order to make that synapse connection.
This is a cool theory. I like this one. I think this is something new and different that we haven't really been talking about with Parkinson's.
Right. Well, that's one thing about this show is we are going to be pressing forward into new and bold areas.
Yes, we are. No question about that. Yeah. I mean, I love this concept of something so simple being able to have that kind of benefit. And I think, you know, if we can test it out, are you going to, did you order some of these, essential oils? Oh, you did.
And
good.
I've been trying the therapy for almost 1 week now.
Okay. So when you do it, Travis, do you have your eyes closed? You visualize, let's say, the lemon. You inhale for 10 seconds and exhale. You're sort of going in the breath in and out while you're doing that.
Yeah, and that's really it. I just hold the jar up to my nose and breathe normally while sniffing it and thinking about what I'm smelling.
That's pretty neat. I mean, the truth for this is that it's not going to hurt you to smell eucalyptus. It's not going to hurt you to smell lemon or cloves or the lavender. So, and all of those are known. Lavender, I know that a lot of times they sell these lavender pillows to help you relax for sleeping. A lot of people use lavender on their temple at night to try to calm themselves down. So I think it can really be a benefit. Well, I can't wait till we get down to the halfway point to see if you even 6 weeks and see if you notice any kind of results with this. It'll be very interesting.
Yes, and that is something I would be very eager to hear if any of our listeners have any experience or even willingness to try this out. They can let us know by writing into the show at show@indypodcast.net. That's show@indypodcast.net. I would like to hear from them.
Yes, me too. I think that would be really great. You know, as a care partner trying to cook food for someone who has lost their sense of smell, it becomes very frustrating and challenging. And I think we've hit on this a little bit when we were talking about purees. But really, when someone can't smell, the appeal of trying to sit down and eat a meal when you can't taste something is so foreign to the rest of us. Like, we all know that we either like something or we don't like the taste of something, but when it's flat line, it's hard to know how you're going to respond to that. It then just becomes about texture, I think, right?
Right. And that was one of the things that got me started researching is I went to a doctor's appointment and on my way back stopped into this little cafe for lunch. Ordered a piece of red velvet cake with cream cheese frosting that should have been absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, sounds delicious.
But it ended up tasting like a wet sponge. It was completely dead to me. I got no red velvet, no cream cheese frosting, and the whole thing was just kind of a spongy mass, which I decided right then and there I was not going to let my sense of smell go without a fight.
Good for you. Well, as most things that you've done, Travis, you never let things go without a fight. You're always there. You got your armor on. You're ready to go, whether it's with your boxing gloves or just ready to face the world. I'm excited to see what happens in the future with this.
Yeah. And so, what else is on your mind today, Judy?
Well, it's interesting because I just participated in this art project today. We did a Paint Your Pet with PCLA. So it was fun. I am not an artist. I'm a creative person, but I've never been an artist. And I've never even tried, really. I do very sketchy stick figure kind of stuff. It's not my area of expertise. But today I painted my dogs, my two dogs, very abstract. We were sent a canvas with an image, a line drawing of our dogs or cats, whichever we submitted in a photograph, and then a little package of all these paint colors, acrylic paint colors, and one paintbrush. And it was kind of fun, actually, once I started doing it. So I can see where art therapy really comes in handy for people. That once you start to do it, if you don't think about it quite so hard and you don't try to make it so perfect, like if you're just trying to do something fun, it can be very enjoyable. And I really had a good time with it. So for me, it was kind of fun.
Right. That is one of the nice things about art is you can lose yourself in it and forget whatever else you've got to worry about.
I think that's what happens, is you sort of let it go. As long as you aren't hard on yourself. I mean, my expectation normally is I like to do things and have them be right. So I was reminded by one of the other painters that there is no right or wrong in art. It's just art. And as a result of that, I was able to say, okay, that works for me. I can try that. And it was really fun. And I would really encourage other people to do this, to take a painting class or to try something different, maybe sculpting even. I think that could be very therapeutic. I mean, I think I do a lot of gardening, so that's very artistic to me. Like, I love to cook, and to me, that's a very creative experience as well. And so I just don't think of myself doing art when I'm in my garden, and I don't think of myself as doing art when I'm cooking. However, they are both very artful. And I know you're a photographer and you do amazing, beautiful wilderness photographs, and you spend a lot of time looking at that image and what you want to convey with it.
I get absorbed into the editing process, whether it is in the dark room or digitally, and can very easily forget the time or even that I have PD. because when I'm working on a photography project, I'm just there. I'm not a guy with Parkinson's disease. I'm just so incredibly focused on the work that it is really impressive to me that I can really just lose myself in that creative process.
You know, that's something we should mention here too, is that PD brings a lot of creativity to people as well. There's many, many people that are creative that have been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. But what some people may not know is there's actually a connection here that maybe you've never been creative. You've never played the piano. You've never painted. You've never taken photographs. Now you have Parkinson's, and all of a sudden, you can play the piano. You can do great photography. You can paint. You can sculpt. You can do all these wonderful things. And it has to do with the Parkinson's in many cases. There's some documentation of people that have never played the piano that all of a sudden have started playing the piano. And well, not just like learning like a little kid playing, but really playing very, very well. So the fact that you're able to move yourself into another space and separate yourself from your Parkinson's, it's really fantastic for you. You know, Sandy was a photographer and he was a writer for many years. He always wrote and he always was a great photographer. And that was how he expressed himself. And it was fascinating to see as his PD progressed, he still took beautiful pictures. He was still able to get on and to do some work on them on the computer. He wasn't working in the dark room any longer, but it really gave him a great sense of accomplishment when he could see a finished product or when you would read a finished product, a play that he's written. It was really wonderful for him to have that.
Right, Dan. That sense of accomplishment is not to be undervalued, particularly if you maybe stopped working or had to make other changes in your life because of your Parkinson's disease.
That's right. It doesn't mean you have to stop. I think we'll have a guest down the road that has a very interesting story about having to change the way he did his art when after he was diagnosed with Parkinson's. Not stopping his art, but changing it. And I think that it's very impressive when you speak with someone who has traveled down that road. Because you can learn a lot about the tenacity it takes to go through this and to make those changes.
Right. It is not for the faint of heart.
Not at all. It's a difficult disease. It creates many challenges for you. But I have found that people that have been challenged with PD seem to find a way to make it work for them so that they can have some quality and good quality in their life. We're not talking about just being alive, but actually living life fully with Parkinson's disease. And that's ultimately what you want to do.
That is in no small part what this podcast is really about. Living life to your absolute fullest potential.
And Travis is a great example of this. So he's really an inspiration for many people on this level because he does things after, even though he was told maybe he shouldn't, he finds a way to do it and it works for him. And again, we'd love to hear from our listeners. If you're someone out there who's been diagnosed with PD and you've done something extraordinary with this extraordinary circumstance of having PD, let us know, because we would definitely like to hear from you.
All right. That's a wrap. Ding!